Blog Talk Radio.
Great evening, everyone, and welcome again to the Nurturers Corners radio show. And your host is none other than Lady C, the Nurturer. And we are excited tonight to welcome you once again to Being a Positive Change Agent in a Negatively Changing World. Woo-hoo! Come on, give it up, because it's Friday. It's 9 p.m. and you're doing something positive. That's right. You are listening to a positive voice to import positive into your mind, your soul, your spirit, and most of all, your heart, because that's where the issues of life come from. And look, I am so ecstatic, as I always am, to bring to your hearing and to my table none other than the one and only. I don't think y'all ready for tonight. I don't think you are ready. I am so excited. I'm fanatic. I'm ecstatic to bring to your ears none other than the one and only Rolanda. Have you joined us?
Thank you, Lady C.
What up? I am so happy to be talking with you tonight. You are just somebody to love, and I just appreciate you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with me on tonight. Welcome.
Well, thank you so much. It's a joy to be here. It really is. And I just, you know, we connected when we first met.
Yes.
And, as authors, and I really am so happy to reconnect with you and be part of this medium as well.
You know what, I just went on, and I just have to tell everybody nothing but the truth, because that's what's in me. I went on and obeyed the Lord and reached out to you, and I am just so glad that you believing in him as well, and opportunities and all of that good stuff, you just plugged right in. And I'm telling you, we sure did just hit it right off like we're sisters. Because look, you remind me of my sister. I have to plug a picture of you and she together on my timeline when we're done. And we'll let the listeners decide. How about that?
That sounds good. Well, I'm going to take that as a compliment.
Yes. I mean, because you and she have like spirits. And you have like complexions and personalities, I'm telling you. And it is a compliment, because I really do look up to my sister. She and I are best of friends. I mean, we don't talk all the time, but just like you and I, we hit it off when we do talk. So, you know.
Yeah, you're blessed to have a sister. I, we pick up sisters along the way. Listen, the men come and go, the jobs come and go, but our sisters stand by us. Isn't that the truth?
They stay forever. And I'm blessed to have one like you as a blood sister. So we just know we ain't going nowhere, and I just deem you as one of those. How about that?
Now take it out.
Listen, why don't you? I am really enthused to hear what you have to say about your new book, lady.
It's been so exciting. Destiny Lingers is the name of my book. It's my very first one. And it's and Amazon is calling it a romance suspense novel, because I have a journalist and a cop and a hurricane and a hostage situation. But it's a love story wrapped up in some stuff that also deals with race and class and your best friend takes your man, kind of juicy stuff. But it was a fun novel. It's about an investigative news reporter in New York City who's covering all the big stories and not paying attention to her own life until she uncovers this long strand of red hair on her husband's bed pillow. And the only person she knows with red hair is her best friend. Now, you know where that's going to go.
Oh, my God.
She ends up getting a second chance at her first love, a boy she couldn't be with because of segregation. So time moves on and destiny lingers. And, you know, it's really interesting because it took me, it started off as a hobby, and it took about 10 years to write. On
wow.
and off, you know, I put it down. And then Dr. Maya Angelou, my friend, picked it up and read it, and she said, "Don't you die with this story still in you."
Come on.
And I knew I had something to say in class and talk about race and class in the context of love. And it came out at the right time when that's what we're talking about right now is race and class and trying to get back to the most important thing, which we know is love. So it's an exciting time. Destiny lingers. You know, it's on bookstore shelves now and on Amazon. And it's really exciting to finally get the story out of my head and be able to talk about it with people.
I love it because I love how profoundly you state, and I don't know if others feel like this, but it resonates with me when you state it's taken a decade, because to some, they might not catch that, but it means a lot to me because it says it is never too late to get it done.
No.
You know, because
Go on. I don't want to interrupt you, but I'm giving you an amen on that. It's never too late.
Come on, because I know that people speak in our lives all the time, Rolanda, but how often is it that we still don't, like, go ahead and jump on that word that's spoken? You know, you got a lot in you, and we just walk away. Or, you know, but when Maya Angelou spoke to you and said, "Don't die with that in you," it must have triggered something, you know, for you to go ahead and put something on it.
Oh, it triggered so much. It was like a bolt of lightning. That's what got my butt in that chair and made me really take it seriously. And I made a lot of sacrifices. You know, that I didn't go out on the weekends, and, you know, I didn't have anybody to talk to in that little room writing. But it was worth every bit of it. And you know, I thought about that. I don't think I could have lived. I don't think I could have died knowing I didn't live telling my story. And I always, when I'm speaking, I know that there's somebody out there that knows I wouldn't be there unless they had prayed for me, because there are writers out there just waiting to happen. I've done a lot of things in my life, from acting and voiceover work and being an anchor woman, an investigative news reporter, a talk show host. But I can tell you, writing was the hardest thing I've ever done, and I'm going to tell you, it's the most rewarding. And 95,000 words of those are mine, and I'm so proud of that. And I had a story to tell that I really, really wanted to tell. And, you know, it's really exciting after, you know, like I said, it started off as a hobby. I would take, when in the summertime, my friends would take a book to read to the beach, and I would take a book to write. And then at the end of the, you know, we'd be hanging out at the beach, and at the end we'd go have our adult beverages and some poached oysters and sit on the porch, and they'd say, "Well, read what you wrote." And we would sit down in Topsail Island where this book takes place. And I'm going to tell you another thing, Lady C, why I celebrate this book, too, is I really wanted to tell the story. In 1948, my grandparents were represented one of about 10 black families who established Ocean City on Topsail Island, about 7 miles outside of Wilmington. It was the first black beachfront community. And while that was considered integration, quite honestly, 20 years before desegregation, we had this community on the beach, and that's where I grew up in the summers. And the dichotomy of the racial divide, that even though it was integrated, the island was still very segregated. And I wanted to tell the story of how much time had changed, and to still explore whether attitudes have.
Right. Wow.
But back to getting writing. You've got that story in you. And, you know, just keep at it. Even, you know, I had Jackie Collins on my show back when I did my talk show, the Rolanda Show, in the 90s. And yes. I purposely had her on because I wanted to say, I wanted to pick her brain like you're picking my brain. And she said to me, and I'm going to pass this one on to you and the other writers listening.
Yes.
I said, Miss Collins, I would love to write a book. And she said, well, darling, just write a page a day. And she said, in 365 days, you'll have a book.
Oh.
And it's really that simple if you think about it. We tend to look at it like the book. But
right.
You take one page a day. It could be a rotten, crummy page, but it's the habit of sitting down, the discipline of meeting your muse. You can't be out there playing ping pong when the muse is waiting for you at your computer.
Come on.
So you've
Come
got
on.
To show up. You've got to show. You know, the key to life most of the time is just showing up. And the spirits
yep.
and your energy will do. You know, I say I'll write 3 pages. 10 pages later, I'm having a ball still writing. And if it's
Isn't
something
it?
You love, you just can't beat it. So I'm encouraging you, get thee to the computer. Or write longhand like Dr. Maya Angelou did. Or write standing up like Ernest Hemingway did.
Wow. Wow. So is writing comparable to talking? And how comparable is it, if it is at all?
Well, you know something, I feel that writing has a real, real gravitas to it. When you write that word, when you write it, it is really, it's in history. That's it.
Mm.
You know, and coming from a journalistic background, you want to be true to the story, you know, the story and making sure the, you know, I there were times when I would edit and I would go and I would say, I know there's a better way to say the word big. So I get the Rose's Thesaurus, and I'd say humongous, gigantuan, gigantic, you know. And I'd find different ways to express what I was really trying to say. I think writing, it's interesting because in journalism, as a journalist, it's the facts, miss, nothing but the facts. Who would win, where, why, and so the heck what.
Right.
But in writing a novel, you really have to explore what the character is thinking, what they're smelling, what they're seeing, why their heart aches, what that means. You know, so it's a real exploratory craft, and it can be painful, especially when you're telling the truth. Now, my story is a creative nonfiction. I took the truth and elaborated. But still, you have to go into those dark places sometimes to really dig out a story. Because let's face it, we don't pay all that money to go to the movie, Miss C, to go see a bunch of people happy.
Ain't it? You want to see something you can relate to.
Right. And all of us have a story to share. And you know why it's important to share your story also is because somebody out there is waiting to be healed because you sat down and wrote it.
See there.
You know, that's a God-given gift. So, and a lot of y'all listening have those, you know, Ernest Hemingway took one of his most famous novels, he just put it in the trunk of his car and forgot about it. And his wife found it, like thrown it away. So, you know, thing that's now considered classic literature. So if you have something in that shoebox, go back and dust it off and give it a new perspective because it moves on, you grow too.
Wow. Now that is huge. You have really knocked us to the seat. Meaning we're sitting with our hands on our chins here. Because, I mean, so many people I talk to, especially those you can see book all over them, are like, yeah, I've heard that so many times. Stop hearing it and say, I'm on my second one. You know, but it's like people have this writer's cramp and they haven't written a thing. So, okay, you go from, now you heard Jackie Collins and then, you heard Maya Angelou. So do the people that surround you play a part in whether in the success of your being a writer?
If you're somebody who takes no's and turns them into yeses is the key to your successes. When you take on something so tremendous as a book, and I mean tremendous in terms of just something so wonderful to do, you know, speaking from the other side, and I know the struggle, trust me, it took me, like, it was like birthing a baby getting this thing done. Like my friends who were, I've never had a baby, but my friends are pregnant, say, by the 9th month, honey, you're like, get it out of me.
Right.
You know? And so by that time, that was the way I was with the book. I was just done. This thing wore me out. But, you know, and some people can sit and write books in 3 weeks.
Right.
You know, and it surround yourself with people who are like-minded, like you, to answer your question. I took courses. I went to UCLA, and I took some courses in memoir and poetry and creative writing. I went to I worked with a writer's group just so you can keep it. I need accountability partners.
There you go.
You know,
come
on. Get with a writing circle. Or there's so many writing circles online. You know, or hit me up on social media. You know, but there's such a wonderful opportunity to connect and get the inspiration and motivation that you need as a writer or any kind of storyteller.
Wow. Tell me this, Rolanda. How I know the industry has changed much. Now, what have you seen in your being a publicist, being a, you know, journalist? What are the big three that you had to overcome in the industry changes of today?
What did I had to overcome for today? Well, you know, let's see. Well, Stan, that really the genres and the things that I am really known for, like, you know, the hard news, when we check, double check, there was no such thing as fake news. There was no such thing as people disrespecting us in the ways that we are today. And then some of that is our fault, you know.
Okay.
You know, that there, it goes both ways. But I think to overcome the way the craft is being treated, the craft of journalism, and I'm not a publicist, I am a journalist.
Okay.
To overcome, you know, overcome being, you know, my show was in the 90s. I've done 50 million other things, movies and all of that. But talk shows have changed. So you have to change in genre. We also have a change in technology. I think that is, I thank God I'm a gadget girl. I was one of the first people on Facebook and social media. I love it. But it has come as a tsunami right now. And it's so much to learn. And girl, wait a minute. Even for like, even online dating at this age, I'm in my 50s. You know, I do a whole comedy routine on, boy, have things changed, not just in the workplace, but in life. I mean, who heard dating people up in cyberspace? But here we are, right? So it's been an interesting change in all of life. And going into a well-seasoned time of my life, things are very different, you know, overcoming working for millennials, you know.
Right.
All of that type of thing. So, but that's part of the joy and adventure and being always ready for change and reinventing yourself, you know, that type of thing.
I love it. Always ready for adventure. I love it. And embracing change. Yes, yes, yes. And it's good to hear it from, you know, these are some of the things some of us hear often, but it's good to hear it from a person as yourself who is right in the whirlwind, but successfully managing the whirlwind around you. So and I love it. I love it. So what did you look to, not just getting it out of you, but what did you look to achieve in writing the book? What is the main thing that you want reading audience to gain from your book? Destiny
lingers. Well, time moves on and destiny lingers in terms of understanding that love endures all, even hatred and even time, and that there's ways that we can talk about, you know, and have very heated and deep discussions about race and class without so much of the violence and degradation and all of this. It ain't that serious. Sit down and just talk.
Right.
Their experiences. You know, it's really interesting because when I did this, the story takes place in New York and down on Topsail Island, North Carolina, and we have some really hard stories about dealing with race, and some of them are true from my life because, you know, I'm at an age where I'm one of the last generations that remembers the Jim Crow era.
Right.
That's what I wanted to document. You know, I tell young people, I say, you know, you guys can date anybody you want, purple, green, from there, LGBTQ. I said, you know, in my day and age, sometimes we'd be swinging from a tree if you made those decisions.
It is.
And I want you to know how much time has changed. I've had gay couples come and say, oh, my God, I relate to Destiny and Chase so much because there came a time when we couldn't openly love. So what I wanted to tell was a story about growing up in the Jim Crow and having overcome and having still to this day dealing with the sensitivity, but understanding that stories are the greatest things that we have as human beings. At the end of the day, that's all we have. That's what gets us through. The Bible is stories. You know, we tell each other stories. We are known by our stories. Our memories are stories. So to be able to document stories that can help people change as a humanity, to make people more humane, to give them something to discuss. You know, it's interesting. I've had white men say to me, I can really relate to Chase, and I thank you for telling that story. And I said, what are you talking about? You like black women? And he was like, no, Ro. They said, just thanks for telling the story about poor white boys who are raised by a single mom, who live in a trailer park, and who still want to break that trend of racism in their own family and become something of themselves. And if they fall in love with somebody outside of the trailer park, so be it. They'll fight for that. And I was like, you know, we don't have a lot of stories like that about white boys or white men. And so I'm happy to contribute to the art of storytelling and to be able to be a craft that we can have open discussions without killing each other. You know, we can talk through a novel to tell our own novel experiences and try to change the world one by one, story by story, you know?
Right, right. Well, what, tell me this, what was the most, I guess, most emotional experience you've had in being in your craft, and how did it better you?
The most emotional experience?
I guess meaning it's very sensitive to you, maybe not necessarily hurtful, but just like, wow, did that just happen?
In writing book?
Yeah, or just in your journalism career.
Oh my goodness! Well, there were so many moments of that.
Yeah.
And by the way, if you were wondering what in the heck we're talking about and didn't follow the show Rolanda back in the 90s, or if you're somebody who goes, "Oh, I remember that show," well, honey, y'all get together and go on YouTube and go to Rolanda Watts channel, and that's Rolonda, the Rolanda Watts channel. And they're some of the best shows. I mean, I interview people who murdered their children.
Yeah.
I interviewed the KKK on my show and told the Grand Wizard that I didn't care how much he hated. My responsibility was to always love, and I was going to love him no matter what. And that was 20 years ago, and that show is up on YouTube, and you can watch it, and you wonder, has anything changed? That hurts me. You know? You know, child molesters, all those things we dealt with. But being able to tell the story helped bring the knowledge and the information and the movement to people. Had we not told those stories about, you know, I did one of the very first stories about child abuse many, many years ago in the 80s.
Yeah.
And had we not had the courage to tell our stories, we wouldn't have changed the laws and protected as many children. And even if it's talking about Chase and Destiny, or if I'm standing up doing my comedy act, stories can touch people, and I think that good or bad, they do affect us in some way. And I think it makes us question, how will you deal with that dash in your life? You know, as they say, you got that year you're born, you got that year you die, but what does the dash mean? And what will be the stories told about you?
Right, right. Wow. Having said that about that dash, what do you believe, Rolanda, is your goal, your assignment from God, if you will, in life? And how are you fulfilling that?
Well, that's a good, boy, that's a heavy question. You know, I just love to you know, I really like to make people feel good and to feel comfortable and to really feel comfortable asking questions, learning, stepping outside of their own box, even, you know, facing the fear, doing it anyway, letting adversity be their strength, letting their weaknesses be their greatest strength, to motivate people, inspire people, tell them a story that makes them laugh. You know, I hope that what I do is healing, and I hope that I encourage people to come out of their shells and go for their destiny, chase your destiny, and be everything that you're put here. You know, and it's like, don't just do one thing. God gave us so many gifts in that big thing you called a toy box. Look in there and find some other things. You're going to find a new passion. You might find a new career, a new money stream. But there's so much within ourselves that we don't have to look so much outside. Only look up to God and look for the rest within yourselves, and you'll be okay.
Right, right. Wow. So tell me this. What is the most enjoyable thing you've done in your career?
Oh, gosh. You mean between cooking with Aretha Franklin and singing on stage and dancing with James Brown and him performing
Live?
Yes. Let me think.
I was really thinking about the voiceovers.
You know, there's so many. Oh, my gosh. Well, where do I begin? Because I've done so many different things. I love being in the streets of New York City covering the gritty stories because, you know, I covered murder and mayhem and the mob.
Mm.
And then I was on Inside Edition, and I got to go to Iceland studying teenage alcoholism, and, you know, that was exciting. And then I did my own talk show that was syndicated.
Yep.
Got to be on Sister Sister and work with Jamie Foxx and Steve Harvey and do movies, you know, with Spike Lee and Madonna. And it was, you know, I've had a really exciting run of doing a lot of different things. The voiceover career, being Professor Wiseman on Curious George.
Yes.
The voice and being on, like, with Divorce Court. On Divorce Court today.
Ain't
and
it?
You remember Mr. Brown?
Yes.
On the next Judge Joe, Bad Boys. So, and there are many more journeys to come, a lot more to come. Who knows what it'll be? You know, I look at my auntie Maya Angelou, who didn't start direct. Listen, she didn't write I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings. How old do you think she was when she wrote that book?
Mm-mm. In her 20s?
She was in her 50s.
What?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
She was in her 50s when she first wrote I Know Why the Caged Bird Sing, which is her whole PS, you know, things with 50 million other things she did. But she also directed for the first time when she was in her 70s.
Listen here.
Okay.
Wow.
So that's the kind of women I look up to. Going back to your original question, do you surround yourself with people?
Right.
Who are better at the stuff than you are and who are – you know, you show me your friends, I'll show you your future. And you surround yourself with people who inspire you and motivate you and not the naysayers. You know, don't let in, you know, what you do in your life is nobody's business.
Come on.
What they think about you is none of your business. So go on and do your thing.
I love it. And you touched on something which leads me to my next question. What's in your plans for a affirmatively hitting your world even more in the next 6 months? What you got coming up for?
Well, let's see. We're going to launch a television project you're going to hear about. My podcast coming back. I was on book tour all last year.
Yes.
So I was doing a podcast, and I really miss it, and people are like, and then I was trying to, like, maybe I won't do it. They were like, you got to do the podcast. So
yes.
I'm going to be pulling Rolando on Demand back. And we've
awesome.
Got some exciting things. I'm working on the screenplay for Destiny Lingers, and, you know, I'm doing a lot of comedy. If you're in Los Angeles, I'm going to be at the world-famous Comedy Store on August 30th at 8 p.m., and if you're in New York on September 11th, I'm going to be there at Caroline's on Broadway. That's a whole nother career.
Wow.
And you can see some of those clips on Rolanda On Demand, too.
Okay.
I mean, not Rolanda On Demand, I'm sorry. On Rolanda Watts' channel on YouTube.
Okay.
And you know what, Miss C? It sounds like I do 50 million different things, like I'm schizophrenic. But you know what? The one common thread through everything is storytelling. And if you take one good craft and look at how many different ways you can spin it, that's a fun thing to do, too. So take something that really makes you happy and see how many ways you can keep doing that.
You just hit me in the gut. Come on with it. I love it. I love it. The common thread. Wow. I love it. The common thread. That is such a profound way to put that, mastering what you do best. Wow. and see how many ways you can do it. I love it. I love it. You have already given us so many nuggets. Wow. What was the first comedy show you did?
Well, here it is. Now, I had been dibbling and dabbling. I did a lot of comedy stuff in between, you know, working with my audience and my talk show and that kind of thing. And I loved doing comedy. I did something with Lifetime one time with comedy. But, you know, I was doing other things. So Kim Coles, I had mentioned to Kim Coles, my girlfriend, the comedian, Kim Coles. Woo, woo, woo. I said to her, I want to do comedy. She was like, oh, you should try it. You should. And Arsenio Hall was telling me to do it. And I had a lot of good friends in the business who were saying, you should really. So Kim Coles gets married. She asked me to be her bridesmaid. So she's having a bridesmaid's party. And the deal is the bridesmaids are going to get up and do jokes for her. But the bridesmaids are people like Erica Alexander, Queen Latifah. So she says, get up there, I need you to do some funny. And I said, she says, stop it. You wanted to do this. You put it in the universe. You said you wanted to do it. I know you've got 5 minutes at least.
Wow.
Missy, I got on the stage. And 17 minutes later, I'm still up there cracking people up. And I loved it. And everybody was like, you should take this seriously. So I took a workshop. I worked with David Arnold, very funny comedian who I admire, and started writing my material. I go out to the open mics and really do the work and talk with people. And then I started getting booked. For the past year and a half, I've been pretty much a regular at the Comedy Store here. I've also been at the Comedy Union and have been a headliner at Flappers. And like I said, I've always dreamed of performing on Broadway, so I got to do that with Caroline's on Broadway, the premier comedy club in New York. And also on my birthday, I got to perform at the Broadway Comedy Club.
Woo-hoo.
So I'm really out there having fun, and I hope to come to an area near you. See, we can do a book signing, and then you can come to the comedy club that night.
Yes, please. Most definitely. We must talk.
Yes, indeed.
Absolutely. Wow. So where has family played in your career? Have you been like adopting nieces and nephews, or do you have,
there's so many people at this time in my life. There's so many, like when I was in New York doing my comedy show, it was so wonderful that so many of my producers from my show, my original show and back in the day of the news days came out, and many of them I had given them their first jobs in television.
Wow.
So and now they're big producers at 2020 and The View and Kelly and Ryan. I mean, these are big time producers, and they're doing tremendous things. And so that's my extended family. You know, I have a very small family. We used to say if we were light bulbs, we wouldn't be very bright because we're only 4 watts. And so my father, who I was very, very close with, he was an artist, a woodcutter, and chairman of the Fine Arts Department at Winston-Salem State University. And, in fact, if you're in that area, you can go see his artwork on display right now.
Wow.
But, he was one of the funniest people I've ever known in my life. And we were very, very close, Roland and Rolanda. And I think he was the part that pulled out the creativity side of me. And my mother was an educator and associate dean at Wake Forest Medical School. And, of course, education was very important to both of them. So, yes, family has played in a tremendous role. My brother is an actor. I think we're a creative family that also believes in education. And then the X family with people like Dr. Maya Angelou and many of the people who I'm still in contact with today who are my teachers and my, friends from back then. That's the extended family. So what I'm saying is when you come from a small family, you adopt people along the way.
Right. Wow. And it is just so heart-touching that you are such a family-oriented person, even though your family is small. That is just huge. And I celebrate big time your humility. Because if you recall, my husband was the one who recognized you first, because I'm doing the busy, right? Setting up our books and all that stuff. And he was like, and he kept fixing it until he got your name. I'm like, oh my God, it is. You know, so, I mean, just in being who you are, you just embraced us. And I just love it that you didn't forget to be human, you know, because you are successful. You've done this, you've done that. But it seems to me that you keep yourself at a level where you're people to people.
You are so sweet. Thank you. But you know something, you and your husband were so easy to meet. And I've got to say, it's always inspiring to me when I see a beautiful black couple who are working together, getting it together. Y'all are selling those books.
Ain't it?
You know, just being so supportive. And we had such a tremendous, we were at the NAACP convention in the bookstore. And that was just being around our folks doing great things and telling wonderful stories. And then here we are today. That's the way it works, you know. We support each other.
I love it. I love it. And so now, Destiny Lingers, we can get it where again?
Well, you can go to Amazon and Kindle and the Nook and Barnes & Noble. And you can also, if you want your novel signed, this is a special thing I'm going to offer for your listeners.
Yes.
If you go to my website, destinylingers.com, and you order your book through my shop, I will sign it for you to whoever you want, because a lot of people are getting them for gifts, you know, especially in the summer. If you're going to go visit somebody, you want to take it. You can't beat a $20 gift, right?
Right.
And it's going to have to sign it to them. So I will sign the book for you and send it right, pop it in the mail and send it right back to you and put your name on it or whoever's name you want if you go to destinylingers.com. And you can also follow me, Missy, on any form of social media, you know, Twitter.
Yeah.
And girl, I'm getting my Instagram on. And Facebook, always something going on over there. You can follow me, Rolanda Watts. And remember, it's Rolonda.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh, wow, I love it. You have just totally impacted my life tonight, and I'm going to prove it one day at a time by getting my 365 in, if you feel me.
There you go. There you go. And you know something? It will support each other and have, you know, get your writing circle together and just make a carve time out of the day, because that's called me time. When you're working on your story, you can't work on a better thing. And you on the other end, and I'm speaking from experience now, where you're on the other side of that mountain, you will be so proud of yourself, and then it'll be like, okay, next.
Wow.
So
I love
right
it.
With you, sister. I got to sit down and start writing again. But please follow me and keep up with what's going on, and look out, listen out for me. And
most
I've got
definitely
a movie coming out called Lost Girls on Lifetime, and right now go and check out Broken Roads, a movie that we just released on Amazon. So you can go get the book and the movie Broken Roads.
I'm doing it. Broken Roads. Okay.
And this is a good movie. It's and I play this older woman, and I wanted the role so bad. They were like, Ro, you're too young to play this role. So I went and got me a wig, a gray wig, and went in there and did the
whole thing.
Okay. So it's fun. It's starring Sally Kirkland, who's an old Hollywood famous name, and I think you'll enjoy it.
Coolness. So you're getting that screenplay together for Destiny Lingers. Any idea when we can look for that to be coming up?
You know something? I'm not going to put a timeline on it right now.
Okay.
I just don't think that would do anything justice.
Well, we sure do have enough to be looking for that you've got coming up, so we'll definitely be following you on our social media, as well as getting a few copies of those books to some favorites of mine. I won't begin to name them here, but I'll definitely be contacting you to let you know whose name's going to go where.
That was great.
So tell us, we're going to stop making you chop all the way, but I want you to give us just, in today's world, again, title of our show is Being a Positive Change Agent in a Negatively Changing World, and you are definitely deemed a positive change agent. So what advice do you have for us who desire to be as yourself, such a trend-setting, transforming,
positive person, what advice would you give us who are looking to make the similar impact that you've made in your world?
Well, I think just fight to do the things that really make you happy. And that might come with sacrifice. I mean, you know, things aren't always perfect when you decide to be an actor. And talk shows don't last forever. But I think that what it is finding all the things that make you happy. And, you know, it used to be a time when people said, you stay in that box and don't you move. That's what you do.
Right.
You do that for 30 years. And life doesn't exist that way anymore. That's not reality.
True.
So we really have to, people say, oh, I don't do that Facebook. I don't do that LinkedIn. Well, you better get with it, because if you don't, you're going to disappear. So there are things that we have to be aware of change, when to change and how to change. And that comes with doing your research, you know, and finding those things that make you happy.
Mm-hmm.
And taking some real chances. You know, if you don't risk, you don't live. Be 100 years old sitting on the porch going, you know, I could have, would have, should have if I'd only tried.
Ain't it right?
Yeah, so, you know, take a risk. Well, you know, I'm just somebody, I don't have a problem making a fool of myself half the time, so I take a lot of chances. But, you know, I don't have a bunch of little kids and all of that stuff to worry about, but I think that people do what they want to do, and you just have to make it happen.
True. I love it. Wow. That was a good nugget to end this on, and I really hate to end it, because you have a lot of wisdom and love to share, and I am just so the more blessed, me and my husband, to have made this connection with you. We count nothing as coincidences, because we believe in the divine order of God, and it was at that place where you came in and looking for the lady that was in charge and found me and my husband.
And y'all helped me set up.
Yes.
Right.
We are just one of your most favorite fans, and thank you so much again for being on the show, and I look forward to having you back again sometime, and I'll definitely be plugging into all the things that you are doing to keep me inspired and others as well, Rolanda. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. And listen, you guys have one step closer to the big man upstairs, so cover us in this nation with all that's going on. And thank you so very much, Miss C, again, for the time and the support.
Thank you, listeners. And you heard it right here. You check out Rolanda. That's Rolanda.com. And make sure you check in with me to get your signed copy of Destiny Lingers. Love you, people. Thanks for tuning in. We'll check you here next Friday, same time, and we'll let you know who our guest is. But for now, be the best you can be, and that's a positive change agent. Love you now. See you next week. Love you, Rolanda. Bye-bye.
Okay. Love you guys back. Bye.